This is Bill Riddle of National Rock Review, and I'm sitting here with the Prophet Josephine Smith of the Church of the Latter-day Skanks. And we're going to talk about their music, what they do, who they are, and what it's all about. The Prophet Josephine Smith. Who are the Mormon trannies, and what do they do?
So the Mormon trannies go around the city of Portland, Oregon, and we preach the word of the Church of Latter-day Skanks. We are a three-piece punk rock band. Yes, punk rock still exists, and we bring the music to the people and preach the word of the Church of Latter-day Skanks. We are consisted of myself, Prophet Josephine Smith, lead vocals and bass guitar. We got Elder Brigham Hung on lead guitar and backing vocals, and then Elder Tits Romney on lead skin beating behind the kit.
Well, the first time I saw the Mormon Trannies play live, it had been at the Hawthorne Lounge at P-Lander Z. Seriously, outstanding show. I was caught by the sign outside the door, saw the name, saw the lineup, I had to check it out. Very, very excited, and I paid to go in the show, and I covered the show, and I've paid for every show since then to come
Thank
and see you.
You
guys.
I appreciate it.
I know it's not a lot of money, but hey, it's for local music. It's what it's all about,
yeah.
Right?
It's right. Going straight to the altar and then right to my panties, you know.
Nice. Well, what got me interested, first of all, was the preaching gear. I mean, you look like Mormons going down the street in drag. I mean, typical. But a little bit of an edge to it. The propaganda, then I found myself catching more of the shows with, like, the lyrics, the hymn books. I thought that was great. And then with the Book of the Mormon Trannies, brilliant. How long has the current lineup been putting the balls back into punk?
Oh, yeah, well, we've been tugging it back and taking it out for a while now. The band originally started in 2011, and then Elder Brigham Hung joined early 2012. Elder Tits Romney joined in later 2012, fall 2012. So about 2 years we've been at the current lineup. And it's definitely, you know, the original lineup was really fun. We were a little wackier. And then this lineup is sort of honed in on the message we want to convey to the people. And not only that, but also, like, just the music in general, we just tightened up a lot. About 2 years on this lineup.
Tightened up, too, man. You guys are on it. I've seen people
play. We like
play
it tight, you know.
I've seen people play live, and, man, you guys are square. And just your interaction with the audience and the crowd, it's you got it going on, man. I really love what you guys are doing. Well, music has always had a message, either political or rebellious. The Mormon Trannies take on probably the most explosive and controversial topic of modern culture, religion and sexuality, and take it to the stage. Have the Mormon Trannies approached or been contacted by the Church of Latter-day Saints in response to your message of music?
Well, I mean, we all grew up in the Church of Latter-day Saints, and we were pretty humble Mormon, young Mormon boys, you know, growing up in Utah. And then we just kind of always knew that, like, the church wasn't right for us. And as we got older, we just knew that there was something different about us and that there was something different about the people we were and the people that we would become. And it wasn't until, for me personally, it wasn't until I was about 11 or 12 years old, you know, I started getting into punk rock, started getting into rock and roll and seeing it. And this was, like, some blasphemous things in the church, you know, pretty much any church anyone grows up in, whether it's Latter-day Saints, Catholic Church, you know, you go to temple, whatever, you start getting that little taste of rock and roll, that little taste of that punk rock freedom, you know, and it's going to take you where you want to go, especially if you're already feeling like a freak, if you're already feeling different. And for us, you know, we started, you know, getting into bands, like I started getting into bands like Black Flag, the Dead Kennedys, bands like that. And one artist that really stuck out for me a lot, huge influence on us and what we do is a transsexual punk singer by the name of Jane County, she was the first transsexual rock singer in the 70s. She's just got this wild, wild history, you know, and it's pretty crazy to look back on what she was doing in these, like, early, mid-70s, you know, pre-punk New York City kind of shit, and just, like, coming out in drag, shaking her cock around, like, just going nuts. I mean, if you get a chance, like, look up some of her stuff, her autobiography is really good, and she's so in-your-face and just representative of what I wanted to do with the band. So it's like, you know, we grew up very repressed and in this very oppressive environment. We knew we were different. And the punk rock scene is just what set us free and allowed us to, like, we're going to kind of support our roots with the white shirt and the tie, but we're going to throw on a skirt and rock your ass. You know what I mean? Like, we're three former Mormon transvestites who just come out and just want to fucking bring it to you.
Right on, and that you do. So, hey, I got a couple of fan questions. Are you cool to answer those?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you come up with the name?
It goes back to our upbringing, you know, in the Church of Latter-day Saints. So the Mormon thing was just been crammed down our throats and forced into our psyche since we were born. So we just kind of, you know, we wanted to take that and just completely flip it because we knew who we were down inside and we knew what we wanted to represent is just, like, our sexuality, our love for punk rock, and then just give a huge middle finger to the church that just oppressed us and beat us and just tried to hold us down. But, you know, like anything, you know, the harder you try, the harder you try to hold people down. Once they get that little taste of freedom, once they get that little taste of where they want to go, they're just going to go there and do it. And that's what we did.
Good deal.
That's how we got the name.
That was from JM West in Richmond, Virginia, by the way. And this next one's from Gaetana in Portland. Where do you shop for clothes?
Well, I try to find out where all the strippers live in town and just wait till they have a garage sale.
Where are some of the venues Mormon trannies like to play?
We played all over town. Katie O'Brien's, which is where we're having the interview right now, as we played here a lot. We had our CD release show here, album release show here. We played a lot at the Red Room when the Red Room was around. We used to actually practice there. We used to practice there during the day, like in the afternoon, and people like, that was out on 82nd in Portland, like crackheads walking, asking for meth pipes and fucking trying to hit the horn in the bathroom. And that was kind of wild. So we played the Red Room a lot. We used to play Plan B when that was around. But currently, like, Katie O'Brien's, Tonic, been bouncing around. We're about to play the Sandy Hut for the first time. We kind of like the sleazy dive bars, you know, and we've gotten on bigger stages here and there, but that's fine. But we definitely like, you know, the punk rock dive bar a lot.
Describe one of the most memorable events from a Mormon tranny show.
Oh, there's been some good ones. I think one of them that sticks out in my mind most recently is we played a benefit for one of our faithful swallowers' gender reassignment surgeries, actually at Katie O'Brien's, and it was just a really good time. It was really cool to be asked to be part of something like that and part of, like, to support the trans community in that way and actually help raise money for someone directly. It was really cool. But it's just kind of like a small memory, I guess. But we were playing one of our newer songs. It's actually the title track off our next EP called Under the Boner of Heaven. And we have a bike helmet, because, you know, Mormons ride bikes and spread the word and all that. And we have a bike helmet with a dildo duct taped to it. And before the song, you know, I'll don someone, you know, appropriate and worthy enough to wear the Church of Latter-day Skanks dildo helmet. And I put it on one of the girls who was in the bass player for the opening band that night. And we rip into this song, and she's just, like, going apeshit in the pit and running around, just, like, total, like, thrash hard, getting it. And she's got this fucking helmet with a dildo on it, and the dildo's flopping around, running around the pit, going nuts. And it's just, like, I just, like, the best feeling to just be like, oh, man, we're playing this great fundraiser for this super awesome cause. This girl opened for us, you know, and now she's, like, kicking ass in the pit, you know, just with this dildo helmet on. It was really cool.
Have you ever been banned from any venues?
We have been banned from two venues in Portland, the Foggy Notion and Blabtown. Yeah.
Why?
So this is a bit of a divisive subject and topic, and this is something that's been coming up more and more with us, but a lot of people within the LGBTQ community view, especially people within the trans community currently, view the word trannies as derogatory, like very derogatory, actually. And we got banned from the Foggy Notion in 2012 for just due to the name. And I talked to the owner there for a while on the phone and explained, like, our background and what we're doing and what the message is, and that we're, like, it's completely not. I mean, it's a shocking name. It's meant to be shocking. We're a fucking punk rock band. You know what I mean? Like, don't have punk shows at your venue and not expect to get some shit. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Even, I don't care if it's 2014, you know, it might not be 77, it's not 82, but whatever. And he was like, you know, I get it, but we just have a lot of, like, members of the queer community that come here, and they're not going to understand it. And I was just like, well, you should explain it to them. We got banned from there, and then we got banned from Slabtown. We'd played there two or three times in 2000, this is last year, in 2013. We played there several times, and they really liked us, and they were, I was working with the booking agent to set up, like, we were about to get on, like, a really good bill, opening for a national coming through, and right in the midst of that, their ownership switched over, and they became this, they actually do a really cool thing there. I mean, it's like a, it's like an all-ages kind of deal, and they have kind of, like, run it cooperatively. It's really cool. I really actually respect what they're doing. But one of the members on the board there is trans, and was just like, nope, totally offensive, can't have him ever play here. And, you know, and it's like, then it's like, my buddies and the Smothers Fuckers played there, and they have a song called Sweet Tranny Hooker. They played there like 2 weeks afterwards, and it's just like, people just don't, it's like, they just don't pay attention, you know? He's like, just because we have this word that is now seen as divisive and offensive to the trans community, like, they're not paying any attention to what we're actually doing. You know what I mean? They're not going to our shows. They're not checking out, like, oh, you just played a fundraiser for someone's gender reassignment surgery, you know? Or, like, you have a song called Fag Basher Beatdown, and you have, like, all these lyrics that are, like, totally aimed at support. They're not, at the least, I'm not going to give myself that much credit to say we're, you know, this huge, you know, putting all this positive message out into the world, but we're definitely, at the very least, not trying to offend the trans community. We all grew up in the church. We identify as transvestites, you know, and, like, we're trying to give a big fuck you to the church and flip sex and sexuality and gender and identity and just wrap it all over that conservative religious message and just to fuck it up and make a point that shit is bullshit. I mean, that's where we really started with the band. And, like, but also, you know, the other message that we want to put out there is that everyone is equal and everyone deserves to be human and to be who they are, no matter what their gender identity, inside out, whatever they want to do, that's what they deserve to do, as long as they're not hurting anyone else. And that is the message of the band. I mean, I've been saying that on stage and in various formats for 3+ years, you know. Granted, there's a lot of dick jokes, there's a lot of tongue in cheek. It's a fucking, we play on the weekends, you know, right. It's fun, we want you to have a fun time. There's nothing wrong with laughing, there's nothing wrong with getting drunk, and there's nothing wrong with rocking the fuck out. But the thing is we just get judged for a word that's currently seen as offensive in the trans community. And, you know, it's like, I just got reading Jane County's autobiography, the transsexual punk singer that I was talking about earlier, and she refers to everyone as tranny. Like, she refers to herself as a tranny. She's talking about all these stories from her past, and like, oh, this person, you know, and it's not a thing. And it's like, language can just ebb and flow how it's gonna fucking go, you know what I mean? Like, certain words are gonna be seen as offensive, certain words aren't. But it's like, if people aren't gonna, if, like, those venues, you know, like, if they're not gonna take the time, like, not necessarily the venues, but, like, the people who are running those venues currently who don't want us there, if they're not gonna take the time and actually hear us out and actually listen to our songs and actually come see a show or have us play there and see that we're standing for the same things that they're fighting for, they're no better than the bigots that hate them.
There's a huge contradiction there.
And it just gets completely warped in the modern interpretation, you know, it gets spun in the minds of powerful men, powerful people, you know, and it gets warped into this, like, corrupt power grab, you know, and then it just puts people down, like, that. I mean, especially Christianity or, you know, Mormonism, it's like, you know, they just totally miss the point, they just completely miss the boat, you know, and then people with, like, who question their sexuality, who question their gender identity, you know, or people who want to fucking dress up in drag and play punk rock like we do, it's like, there's no way we could go back to our former lives. There's no way we could go back to, like, you know, our families or, like, to being part of the Church of Latter-day Saints or any of that. Like, we totally turned our back on that, and that's what, I mean, but that's really what set us free, because that's what was holding us back, you know. And it's like, people killed themselves over that all the time. People, you know, especially people in the queer community, people, trans people, totally, I mean, that's a huge struggle. Insane, you know, and, like, I don't know, it's really fucked up. We want to, you know, preach the gospel of the Church of Latter-day Skanks, which is all, you know, there's, you know, we can joke around about it a lot where it's like sin, sex, booze, and sodomy, you know, we have all kinds of tongue-in-cheek stuff where it's like, you know, that's just fine, I'm not knocking it, that's all fine and dandy, you know, I'll get drunk and tie someone to my bed any night of the week, but, like, you know, we're just trying to speak for ourselves and from our hearts, you know, and that's, I think that's something with, you know, a lot of the recent adversity that we've run into within the queer community in Portland. It's like no one person can speak for the entirety of anything. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you identify as, or if you're Caucasian, like, you can't speak for the entirety of Caucasian identified people or either Caucasian race. You know what I mean? If you're female, you don't get to speak for the entirety of, like, the female gender. And, like, that's something where it's like us getting banned just because of the word trans. It's like, you know, we had one of our drummers, it was identified as a lesbian, you know, and like she had no problem with it. We just played this fundraiser here at Katie O'Brien's less than a month ago for someone's gender reassignment surgery, and it's like they have no problem with our name or what we do, and we got asked to do that, you know. And so it's like I think that's my main problem. That's my second main problem, other than the judgment, the just like immediate judgment of like, oh, well, you have this word in your name, so fuck you, we're not going to listen to you. You're getting just writing off. It's like, who gives anyone the power to just like speak for the entirety of the community that they feel that they're a part of? You know what I mean? Like, no one, you don't get nominated. Even fucking like, you know, the president, like Barack Obama doesn't speak for the entirety of like the mixed race population. He's the fucking president of the United States. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. So that's where I guess I have a big problem with that. It's, you know, it's such a PC groupthink, like Big Brother mentality. But it's like on the side that we're trying to identify with, and like the support, and it's just. But you know, yeah. At the end of the day, we're a fucking punk brand. So exactly. You got a problem with us? You can fuck off.
Exactly.
You know, or come to a show and tell us. Hell, we'd like that better.
So at the last show where you played with Pillow Fight, you guys were in the lineup as well with God Bless America. You mentioned there was going to be some new music. Do you have anything in the works?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of new stuff actually coming out. We have we just pressed it. It should be showing up any day now. Our fourth 30P, entitled Under the Boner of Heaven, and which was it's kind of a spin on the. In the book called Under the Banner of Heaven by, I think it's John, I forget his last name, it's John Krakow, I think. Yeah, so it's, you know, kind of a spin on that and just, like, getting out from under the oppressive nature of religion in general, but especially, you know, the Mormon Church, and just getting out away from, like, the rampant sexual abuse, you know, you see that in the Catholic Church all the time, the rampant abuse, physical, all that stuff, just getting... pushing that shit the fuck away from you and getting out from under it, you know. But as usual, you know, we're the Mormon tranny, so it's all wrapped in the veil of dick joke.
Sure.
Under the Boner of Heaven. So that's coming out real soon. We did a split, 7-inch split with a local band, three other local bands. One of them we share a practice space with, 42 Ford Prefect, and then Dark Gun and the Vignettes, who we played the gender reassignment surgery fundraiser with, and then Stumble Bomb, who's a buddy band of ours as well. So that's coming out, and then we're on a local comp called Blown Fuses and Bloody Ears, and that split and the comp are through Volume Bomb Records here in Portland, Oregon. And then yeah, but we're writing a bunch of new music. We're working on a new song called Don't Be a Slave to Your Gender, which is a lot about gender identity and just like opening up and being free to who you want to be and not being held back by like societal norms and constructs and that kind of stuff, you know. But again, there's going to be the tongue in the cheek effect will be in full, you know, full flavor there. So we got that, and we'll probably go back in the studio. We got a few new songs, yeah. So we'll probably maybe do another. I'm not sure what we're going to do. Probably go back in the studio by the end of the year and maybe do another. We like doing EPs. We've done one full length album. Divine Penetration came out in April and May. And then, which is our first full length, and then Under the Boner of Heaven, the EP is coming out. Like, I mean, the tracks are already available online, but like the physical product's probably coming out in August.
Where can people pick those up at?
You can find all of our stuff that we have available on our Bandcamp site, which is bandcamp.com/MormonTrannies, or you can hear them on Reverb Nation, and then we have a Facebook too. So pretty much, I mean. You know, as long as you're fairly internet savvy, if you message us on Reverb Nation or Facebook or just find the Bandcamp, you can buy it directly at Bandcamp or just hit us up on Facebook and we'll make sure you get it to you. Or, best case scenario, if you live in Portland, Oregon, bring your ass to a show.
Exactly.
Come see us, yeah.
Sure. Tranny's feeling about this kind of growth.
We're a big fan of growth in a lot of places, and you know, it's awesome. We've been playing a lot this year, and like we've gotten two really good. The Divine Penetration recordings were actually done at a buddy of my basement, and we did it live. Like, so all there's no overdub. The vocals are overdubbed, but all the instrumentation is live. And so it was this really raw, like really good representation of how we sound now, because we didn't have a recording of the current lineup. The last EP we did was myself, Elder Brigham Palmer and Sister Milford Trimley, who was playing with us for a short stint, is a good friend of ours from back in Utah too. I mentioned her earlier in the interview. But so, and that came out pretty well. That came out pretty good. But we just got the stuff. You know, Divine Penetration came out. Been playing a lot. Like, we got some, we played with the Jenna Torturers, P. Lander Z. We've been playing some better local shows and just getting better gigs. And the band, like, is just really kicking ass right now. Like, musically, like, we're really at our tightest. You know, we just keep getting tighter, too, and writing new songs. So we're stoked. I mean, we're definitely stoked. And, like, it's been an uphill battle, you know. Anytime, like, you started, you know, when we started this band, we just wanted to do it because this is what we felt, and this is what we felt in our hearts that we wanted to do and bring to the people. But it's like at the same time, there was that idea in the back of all our heads. It was like, maybe no one's gonna fucking like this, you know what I mean? Like, and you know, the punk scene is as wild and crazy as it is, it can be very conservative, and it can be very, like, limiting in what you're able to do. And it also, anytime you get up on stage and people see you as, like, a gimmick band, you're held to, like, a higher standard, or you're held to a different, you're at least held to a different standard, you know? And that's, like, you know, I think that's what's in a lot of ways forced us to really be, to try to get really fucking tight. And to kick, just really kick the shit out of the music and have a high level of musicianship is because, you know, the punk scene, the queer community, the bar community, whoever it is, like, they might not take very kindly or be very receptive to, like, three former Mormon transvestite guys getting up there in drag, you know, playing punk rock. And so, I digress. We're really excited, though, you know, because it has been an uphill battle getting banned and all this kind of shit, and, like, it's been really cool to be doing what we're doing lately.
Your deal, any plans on taking the Mormon Trainers on the road?
We've toured a little bit. We've done the Northwest a couple times, and, you know, we got a little, like, niche carved out in Seattle, and so we go up there a little bit, but, you know, it's tricky. If anyone hears this and, like, you know, we'd love to play Olympia, I've been trying to get us there for a while, and it hasn't really panned out, or, like, Eugene would be cool. Seattle, you know, we love Seattle, so we'd love to come back up there. I'm working on that currently.
Any message that you would like to tell the Mormon Tranny fans?
Yeah, I mean, a lot, but, you know, there's only so much I can cram down their throats. But, yeah, I mean, just that, you know, a lot of times, one thing I think that gets glossed over, you know, with us is that, you know, we're playing a pretty predominantly straight audiences and kind of straight rock and roll shows, you know, and just that, like, to just accept people and, like, take a step back if you see someone that rubs you the wrong way for whatever reason, you know, like, their socioeconomic status or their gender identity or who they are or whatever, just take a step back and, like, actually listen to them. See how what they're coming at you with, and, like, just take a step back and accept people for who they are. Let people be who they want to be. And as long as they're not hurting anyone, let them do their thing, you know? But same time, people piss you off, people get in your face, people are fucking assholes. Fuck them. Kick some ass and rock the fuck out.
Exactly. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks a lot. It's good talking to you, and I really appreciate your time, man.
Yeah.
Cheers. Totally.